Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. So I am Shirley Gra, founder of Grace and Hope Consulting. And we've been talking about resilience. We talk about resilience all the time. All we do revolves around resilience. But I'm inviting new and old friends to come and kind of join the conversation, add value to my life. You know, I'm not gonna lie, and I'm growing and learning and growing through this, but also I want to make sure that you are learning and growing through all these conversations. So today I have Braca Getz with me. I'm going to give her a chance to introduce herself and let us know about what she does.
Okay, sure. I'm the author of 40 children's books
Wow.
and one book for adults. That's my memoir, which I didn't really write. I kind of just compiled it from my like excerpts from diaries and journals and letters. And from that, you could see the whole thread of how I developed food addictions and how I was healed from the food addictions. Just by putting it all together, kind of, I myself had an epiphany at the end of the book, putting it together. Now I get it. Now I see what happened. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I just gonna say, you wrote it. No, all of that is your writing. It's your life work. And maybe initially when you're writing, you didn't intend it to be, a book, but that's the beauty of writing, right? I often tell, my friends and clients, who join us for, for a writing community, it's like you just keep writing, write as it comes, write as when you want to, once as when you need to. Before you knew it, you have a book in your hand, right? And my first book was literally, it was journal entries that I was doing as well, and just like reflections
Wow.
and and meditation that I was writing for myself just to process what was happening. And yeah, years later, they turned into my first book, and I'm not at 40 yet, so I am impressed that you have 40 children's books. That is awesome. That is awesome.
And they're really all spiritual books. They're books, I say, they're books that help children's souls to shine. That's my whole goal. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell me some of what are some of the topics that are included in the children's book?
Well, it's funny. I'm going to tell you, two of the books are personal safety books, how to guard children from abuse. You would say, what does that have to do with letting your soul shine?
A lot.
Because, yeah, exactly. If we can protect our bodies and also feed them healthfully, this helps our souls to shine. My newest book is Let's Stay Healthy, about eating healthy and what the junk food actually does to us. Children don't realize what the junk food is doing. So I actually explain it because my background is in science and medicine at Harvard. I was even as an undergraduate, I was taking courses at the School of Public Health because it fascinates me to help children, all children out there, to live healthy lives from the very beginning. If our
Good
bodies are
advice.
healthy, yeah, our souls can shine. Exactly.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I'm always impressed of people's stories because here you a scientist, right? Doing science and then going from that, to writing children's book and kind of bringing kind of that health component into it. And so because you wanted to share that, and now 40 books later, you are making a difference through that. And I totally agree with you that, yes, there's time and space for all of us to heal and grow and do, and be all that we can be. But like they say, prevention is the best medicine, right? So when you start young, we are preventing a lot of other things from happening. So it's good to start creating that foundation for young ones.
Exactly. I otherwise we spend our lives trying to catch up with the tools that we weren't given as a child. If we can give life wisdom to young children, then they can have be blessed with so much more success and joy for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of catching up, I think all of us adults can agree to that. I've been there, catching up on the tools that I did not have, how to deal with my emotions when I was younger, gave myself permission to even express myself, right? And how to bounce back from, disappointments, all those things that often families, because of their own upbringing too, for parents, we don't tell our kids. And so I found myself married at 21 and, you know, not knowing who I was, right? And trying to make this marriage work with not even knowing myself, and then needing, having all these needs that somebody else couldn't meet, right? And then vice versa, him having needs that I couldn't meet because our expectations were just colliding, you know, left and right. And then not knowing what to how to process that. And even when, you know, damage was done, it's like, I'm literally playing catch up, like how we can heal from this, how we can do, you know, get better. And from one perspective, like I now had the tools, right? And I was going to counseling. I was trying to, you know, learn all I could learn about, you know, mental health and, you know, trauma and, you know, healthy relationship and family for that matter. But then the other person was not ready to play catch up yet. They were not seeing the need for it. And guess what? It just didn't work, right? And so when you say catch up, it's just so important. Again, if we can do the work ahead of time, no matter where we are, right, in our journey or whatever it is that we're working on or whatever it is that we are pursuing, kind of to take the time to pause and like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take care of me, right? Making yourself a priority. It's so huge. And I think you just did that. Like you, I want to piggyback on what you said earlier about your memoir, your journaling and reflecting through your own journey from food addiction. And not even knowing that's going to be, you know, a memoir that you can publish later, but that also become a map for someone else to navigate food addiction.
A map, exactly. Speaking about maps, what really changed my life was something called the pleasure ladder, which mm-hmm. is based on ancient mystical wisdom. This is when you have a food addiction, we're stuck on the bottom layer of pleasure because mm-hmm. food gives us immediate pleasure. Mm-hmm. The only way to really overcome the addiction is to bring in greater pleasures into our lives. Mm-hmm. It's not about restriction. It's about adding more pleasure to our lives, the deepest and most lasting kind of pleasures. Because food is a sensation that the wonderful taste just lasts for a few seconds while it's in our mouth, you know? And why do we overeat? Because we want that pleasure to keep lasting. So the trick is bring in more pleasures, other pleasures, and recognize that there's an abundance of pleasure in the world, not a sense, we overeat from a sense of scarcity. I'm not getting enough pleasure. I got to keep eating and keep the pleasure going. So if we recognize, like even on the lowest level of pleasure, all the physical pleasures, I can do something physical. I can move, I could stretch, I could dance. Mm-hmm. That's another physical pleasure. I could be out in nature. I can open the window, feel the sunshine, feel the breeze. These things, they change us. And right away the bag of potato chips isn't calling our name as loudly, you know, the minute we add in other pleasures.
Oh, that is so beautiful. The pleasure ladder, that's definitely something that, you know, it's so important because often we don't realize that we gravitate towards unhealthy things to meet legit needs.
Right? Exactly.
The needs we have are genuine. They're legit. But often when we don't have the right coping skill, we don't have the right strategy, we don't understand, you know, even what it is actually at the core that we need, we gravitate towards things that are not healthy, whether it's toxic relationship, whether it's food, right? Whether it's work. Let's be real. Some people know, I've been there where it's like work became everything. Sometimes it's our children. Like after my divorce, my kids are everything because I needed something to control. I needed something that reminded me that, you know, I had a purpose here. But that's only part of who I am. It's not all I am, right? And so when you start understanding that, okay, my needs are legit, you know, to be seen, to be valued, to be appreciated. And then like, how can I fill those needs in healthier ways?
Exactly right.
Like, fill that pleasure bucket, if you want, in healthy ways so that you can climb that ladder in ways that, you know, fill you up rather than tear you down at the end.
Exactly. Do you want me to tell you what the other four rungs are on the
Go
pleasure?
For it.
Okay. The next level up is love. Not the kind where you're waiting for someone to call you. No, it's totally empowering. Every rung, you bring it into your life. Mm-hmm. Love, through this ancient mystical wisdom definition, is focusing on the virtues of another. Mm-hmm. A person that's incarcerated, can focus on the virtues of someone that once did something nice to them, and it fills them with emotional pleasure. They can bring love into their lives at any moment. So that's the second level up. The next level is meaning, doing something positive and meaningful. Above that is creativity. That's when you put a unique part of your soul into the world. And that's even a higher pleasure than doing something meaningful. What's the highest pleasure of all is transcendence and awe. It's the state of awe. It's when we transcend. It's when we break our bad habits. Mm-hmm. We can lift the veil of separation and we see the connection. Every level up the pleasure ladder adds more connection to our lives, first to a physical thing, a person, the community, the world, the universe, you know, and we see how we're all connected to each other through energy, and we're all connected to source energy. It's like I recently read in Psychology Today, researchers have found that the most positive feeling that reduces inflammation and disease-causing chemicals in the body is the state of awe. It just validates that's the highest level when we have complete gratitude. And the only price a person needs to pay to rise up the pleasure ladder is gratitude. That's the price you pay, and that's how you go up the pleasure ladder.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And so much of the things that, you know, I teach people, that I work with people, you know, through as they're facing challenges, trying to find resilience and build that resilience, it's the exact same stuff, you know, and I didn't even know the pleasure ladder. That's a new concept to me. Although I know that building more pleasure in your life allows you to have a more meaningful life, you know, and pleasure in a healthy way. Now with sexual, like you said, there's all these other things that we can do. And so I love this, you know, this pleasure ladder, and like you said, I love, like you said, that the price to pay to go on that ladder, to, you know, rise higher, it's gratitude. When people are facing from going through hard, you know, and we talk about gratitude through other interviews here, on, you know, around resilience, because often when we go through challenges, there people will often see the glass half empty, right, instead of half full, right? And so our natural brains are wired to see what is wrong. You know, think about it. You go into a grocery store, most likely the first thing we see, it's not, oh, how beautiful this place is. Oh, how people are nice. No, we'll see that, why is the banana in the, you know, soap section? Why did someone just leave it here, right? Well, we often find the things that don't fit first, right? The things that are out of order, the things that just like, huh, you know? And those are things that we notice first because our brains are wired that way, to see the discrepancy, to see the issues, you know? And so we have to, when we train our brain to start seeing what is going right, you know, in the midst of even that food addiction, what are the strengths that you exhibit? What are the things that you are, the valid need that you have that you need to acknowledge, right? And so when I start seeing that, I can be grateful that I am human, that I feel, you know, and because I feel, I makes me human, it makes me stronger, then I can deal with those feelings rather than trying to suppress them with food, right? So it's like, but that comes from that place of gratitude. And
beautiful.
I also love that creativity and doing something meaningful. I know my own journey for all the things that I've been through, you know, whether it's a divorce, the chronic illness, the stroke, and, you know, being a single parent, you name it. All of those things, what have helped me is having something meaningful to do.
Beautiful.
You know, I've done so much more with my life in the past 4 years after my stroke than I've done before. And not because I had more energy per se. No, it's because now I had more focused energy. I was doing the same thing I'm doing now, but in a laser focused way, in a way that filled that pleasure cup for me, right? That I could use my creativity to do something meaningful and be grateful that I get to wake up every day doing this. And beautiful. Then all the other problems, they're there, but they're not problems anymore. It's like I found my resilience by doing those three things, you know, being grateful, being creative, and doing something meaningful. And so I thank you so much for just bringing that, like, you know, I love how it just fits all together. And yeah, that is such a great concept.
Beautiful. Yeah, these are, they say like life doesn't come with instructions. It actually does. That's the amazing thing.
That's the instruction book.
Yeah, this is ancient mystical wisdom that's available to us. It's amazing. So I love sharing it because it brings such clarity to how to bring more more pleasure, more joy, more gratitude into our lives.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. And even as you're saying, I know, you know, you're saying it's you know, mystical and ancient, but I was thinking for like for myself, even like my faith is so important to me. And this aligns with everything I believe in my Christian faith. You know, it's just, you know, the more
totally.
I'm grateful for what happens in my life, the more good things happen, the more grateful I feel. It just keeps building up, right? The more I want to do more with my life.
Exactly. And I forgot to mention, these five levels, they correspond to the five levels of the human soul. So it's totally universal for every person. The lowest level of the soul is the part that connects to the body. That's why the physical pleasures raise up, fill us with gratitude in our bodies and our souls. So all these five levels, they fill up the soul, and that's really where the emptiness inside is coming from, that we need to nourish our hungry souls.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I think that's such a powerful statement. We need to nourish our hungry souls. We nourish every other part of our body, of who we are, right? Of body and of your mind, and we our souls don't always get nourished. And that's when then, you know, things start crushing us instead of us seeing it as opportunities to grow.
Exactly.
Beautifully said. So on that note, you know, I just love this stuff. I can talk all day, we're going to kind of wrap it up at that note, and that, you know, as with that closing statement, that we need to nourish our hungry souls. You know, what is a soul hungry for? And how can you feed it? I know for me, like I said, my faith, and then through my faith, I'm able to do that creativity. I'm going to do something meaningful. I'm able to be grateful, and life just becomes more meaningful.
Exactly.
Instead of everything else.
Yeah. And focusing on love, loving other people. That's how we bring love into our life. Focusing on what we appreciate about others. Exactly.
Yes.
And we could do this at any moment throughout the day. I remember at the lowest point in my life, I focused on a tree outside my window. That was all that looked beautiful to me, this one tree. Mm. You know, we all are put in this beautiful garden and we forget to have gratitude. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so where can people find you? Where can we find those 41 books that you've written?
Well, my children recently created a website with all my books, which are available on Amazon, and you can find them all on the Getz Bookshop. And people don't have to buy my books. They can get them in libraries. Just spread the messages around the world. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
We'll be sharing this too with, you know, parents that I know, you know, because those are really good books that people need to read more of and be with their children, so we can start nourishing those young souls, you know, before they even realize that they're hungry, right? So we can tackle that before it becomes a need. Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for resonating so beautifully.
Yeah. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for being here today. I appreciate you.
Bye.
Thank you.